Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 2 John. Tonight is study number 15, and we'll be reading from 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son. Now, as we were looking at this idea of abiding in the doctrine of Christ in our last study, we saw that when some people say the doctrine is not important, they are completely wrong. They have not taken a look at the Bible at all, because in numerous places, God indicates the tremendous importance of doctrine. And doctrine, we also saw, is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching of the Bible. And when Christ spoke in parables, it was according to his doctrine. And so doctrine, yes, can be a systematic, organized list of Bible teachings that theologians write in commentaries. They can list Bible truths and try to organize them in some way. But doctrine is also the spiritual meaning of the Bible. That's what Christ was teaching in parables. And so we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. We have to look at the whole Bible as his teaching, and we must look for the deeper spiritual meaning of the Bible and follow the Lord's directions in digging out understanding and coming to truth in order to abide in his doctrine. And doctrine is so important that if we fail to abide in it, that then the Bible says we do not have God. But if we do succeed in abiding in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. Now, we should also point out that ultimately the only ones who will be able to abide in the doctrine of Christ are the true believers, those that have become children of God, and God has saved them. God has done the work already of salvation within them, which will result in leading them and causing them to abide in the teachings of the Lord Jesus, in abiding in his doctrine. And on the other hand, if God has not performed that work of grace within an individual, that person will not be able to abide in the doctrine of Christ, and he does not have God. That will actually be an outworking of the fact that he is not truly saved. So let's look at some other verses. The Bible just has so much to say about this. We have many more verses we could look at, but we want to look at a few more. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading from verse 13 through 16. And it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now, we understand, of course, the great importance of reading the Bible. And who among us would think that was not one of the most important things for a Christian to do, for a true believer to do? We must stay in the Word. And for how long? Well, we're never to stop. We're to continue giving attendance. That is, we're to show up with book in hand, ready to read the Scriptures until Christ come. We want to read the Bible. It's not a laborious chore for us that we don't want to do, but we love the Word of God. We desire to learn from it. And so it's a pleasure for us to give attendance to reading, to exhortation. That is what happens once we read. We learn. We learn the things we read. And And so we also want to share what we learn, to exhort others and to encourage them in the things we've been encouraged with. And finally, it says, to doctrine. That is, we could read this, till I come, give attendance to doctrine. It is not something that is finished and completed during the Reformation, that when the Reformers saw that we're justified by faith, that therein lies the end of doctrine and all the other Reform principles that were developed. That, unfortunately, that's what many churches think. Doctrine is settled. Doctrine is established already by their particular church. And here, we'll show you the finished product in our confession and in our creeds. These are our church's principles. These are what we stand upon. Why, yes, okay, well, some of them appear to be biblical, but some others aren't biblical at all. So we have to keep reading, and as we keep reading, we'll continue to learn, and as we learn, we will teach, and from our teaching develops doctrine. And doctrine is from the Word of God, from the Bible, and it is to be done on a continual basis until Christ come. In other words, God is telling us here that we may learn something new, and we should give attendance to that. We should be knowledgeable of this fact, that we might learn a new doctrine. And, of course, we have, once God opened up the Scriptures, when we reach the time of the end, when and that period of time began with the end of the church age and the beginning of the Great Tribulation back in 1988, the Lord opened up the sealed book of the Bible and began to reveal to his people doctrine. We began to learn shortly after about the end of the church age, which is a doctrine, and we began to learn about the Bible's teaching of annihilation rather than suffering forever in a place called hell. That was giving attendance to doctrine. As we continue to read the Scripture, the Lord opened up our eyes to see these things. We began to learn about Christ dying and being resurrected from the dead before the foundation of the world. That is, we learn better doctrine. It was the Lord who was giving us more information from his word and causing us to understand these things. And he opened up from the Bible information about the timing of judgment day. First the judgment on the churches, and then the judgment as it transitioned to the world. This was doctrine from the Bible. And all these things were given to us by God as the Lord's people continued to give attendance to reading the Scriptures, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And even today, during these days after that tribulation, God is continuing to establish doctrine. And so we're not surprised. He told us that this would be the case. Now it goes on to say in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, again, we want to emphasize that continuing in doctrine would be continuing, if it's right doctrine, in a good work. And works can never save us. But what God is doing here is indicating that the child of God that continues in the faithful teachings of the Bible, in right doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, as it has been discovered through comparing Scripture with Scripture and so on, as that child of God continues in it, and he continues in it despite opposition, despite perhaps persecution and reviling, he continues in it unconcerned about the world's opinion of him for doing so, unconcerned about the church's opinion of him. Now, just think about the doctrine of the end of the church age and some of the affliction that holding on to that kind of teaching from the Bible can bring upon individuals. Here is someone in a family who maybe one of his parents is a pastor or close relative, and the family goes to church faithfully and regularly, and they don't know anything about this teaching, but one individual in the household hears it, checks it out, and understands it. He sees it in the Bible, and he now must take action, because God also revealed that the true believers were to depart out of the churches. And so the child of God must inform his parents, one of them being a pastor. He must tell his family, I cannot go to church any longer because the church age has come to an end. God has left the congregation. Satan has been loosed and is the one reigning in the churches. This would have been during the 23-year Great Tribulation period. And what would be the response? Well, in most cases, it would not be understanding. It would be animosity, and they would be astonished. They would be amazed that someone thought the church was in control of Satan, and the pastor father would have been stunned to find out that his son no longer would attend the church, and actually thought that he was in a wrong place for continuing to pastor. And you can imagine the pressure and the spiritual affliction and tribulation that this individual would come under. And yet God says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. This is basically a parallel command to Matthew 24, where it says in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what does God mean? He that shall endure. Endure what? What does someone have to endure unto the end? Is it life? Well, many people endure physical life and not all are saved. Is it the afflictions that come with life? Mental anguish, depression? Is it sickness? What must we endure? Well, many people of the world endure these things, and they're not saved. No, the thing that must be endured to the end is sound doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of the Bible. That is what must be endured, and holding on to it will not be easy, not at all. It will be extremely difficult for an individual to hold on to teachings like the end of the church age, or like the doctrine of annihilation, or Christ being slain before the foundation of the world, or God pouring out his wrath in a day of judgment in a spiritual way on May 21. These doctrines are are not easy to hold on to when so many scoff and mock and ridicule and apply pressure in various ways, where they'll leave you as a friend, they'll move away from you and separate themselves from you for the sake of the teachings that you hold on to. Oh no, it will not be easy at all. God's plan is to severely test those that claim to be his people during the final days of the day of judgment. And so he tells us in Matthew 24, they that endure to the end shall be saved. That is, if an individual, if someone who says they're a believer, maintains and holds on to steadfastly to the teachings of the Bible in the face of adverse circumstances such as these, it would be an evidence that he has indeed become a child of God. And that's exactly what 1 Timothy 4:16 is saying. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's not saying that holding on to a teaching will save us, but it is saying that a true believer who already is saved will demonstrate the work of Christ in saving him by faithfully adhering to the Word of God. And let's also turn into 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Well, you see that idea that some hold on to, well, doctrine's not for me. I won't get involved in petty doctrine. That is, I'm not going to butt heads with anyone over doctrine. We'll just pick out a handful of the Bible's major teachings, like Christ died on the cross for sinners. That's what I believe in, and I don't worry myself about anything else. All these other things, these fine points, they're really of no concern. Well, how utterly false that is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We cannot help. We just cannot help developing doctrine as we read the Bible, because the whole Bible is profitable for that purpose. It is designed by God for the purpose of giving us understanding. God teaches us things from his word, and what is taught is doctrine. And so we hold on to doctrine, and when it is derived from the word of God, the Bible, well, we're holding on to the word of God. We're holding on to the Bible. It's not stubbornness. It's not just our pig-headedness that we won't give in on doctrine. How can we? That would be giving in on the truth of the Scripture. The child of God cannot give. We cannot be as a politician, and one politician wants one thing and another wants another, and so they compromise and come to a middle ground of agreement. Well, that might be fine for politics and fine for people who hold to other points of view and other subjects, but that is never fine for the Bible. It is never to be the case that we compromise any point of doctrine any teaching of the Scripture in any way to any degree. We do not, for instance, have a discussion with someone and they're looking at things one way and we see the Bible teaching another way. And so they seem to concede a point. Now, in the world, if you're meeting someone in the middle, well, now you concede a point and you shake hands in the middle and all is fine. No. We hold on to the teaching of the Word of God because it's not our teaching. We're not in control of what it says and what it doesn't say. It's God's teaching. And all we are messengers and servants and doorkeepers. We're just humble creatures, thankful that God has performed a great work of salvation in us. And so we want to share faithfully everything he has said. And we must do so accurately and never give in. Never do we give in on a point of doctrine to please someone else so that they'll like us, so that they'll not leave us, so that they will, whatever, look upon us in a more favorable light. We never do that. And, the Apostle Paul realized this when he wrote, God moved him to write this in Galatians chapter 1. It says in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And that is the marching orders for the soldier of the cross, for the child of God. We seek to please God. Honestly, we do not want to be an offense to anyone. And if we find we're in a discussion with someone and they are maintaining an incorrect viewpoint of the Word of God and they're not recognizing a particular Bible truth, we do not try to force it. No, that's not what's meant by holding on to the Word. We don't try to argue them into believing. We just realize, God has to open up a person's eyes. We never want to strive. God commands the true believer, the servant of the Lord, must not strive. That is, fight. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God might, let's see how that goes. In 2 Timothy 2, in the end of verse 25, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. It's up to God to show someone the light and a right understanding of what he's saying. We can't do it. And so we stop striving. And that means we end the conversation and say, well, thank you. We cannot agree. We do not give in on any point. We do not try to, again, compromise on any point. But we also do not argue any point as well. Well, we may look at a couple of more verses in our next study on doctrine. Doctrine is so important in the Bible, and really the Word itself and how God uses it has not been looked at all that much. So we'll look at it a little bit further when we get together in our next Bible study.